And Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you that your word is alive. It's full of power, sharper than any double-edged sword, piercing even dividing asunder soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It's the discerner, the seer into of our thoughts and the intents of the heart. So God, help us through your word. Teach us, lead us, guide us, bring us into all truth. Cause us to understand your word, to comprehend your word, to use your word for every part of our lives. And we will give you the glory for the victory that comes because of it. We come against the works of the enemy. You said we can resist the devil and he will flee. So right now I resist him. I also remind him that he's going to be tormented. There is no salvation for him. There is no saving for him. Because of his disobedience in heaven, he was kicked out. And for that reason, he will be in the lake of fire. So I torment you now, enemy, that comes to torment us. Besides your ban from these proceedings, this word is going into good ground to bring forth great fruit and abundance, even though you come immediately to steal the word according to the word of God. I cancel that assignment, and I call these people receiving the word of God, and it's changing their lives. I decree a thing, call it done. In Jesus' name, call it done, and everybody said amen. Make a confession with me. Say, this is my Bible. I am what the word of God says that I am. I have what the word of God says that I have, and I can do what the word of God says that I can do. I am a hearer of God's word on purpose, but I'm not just a hearer. I'm also a doer of God's word. And because I do what I hear, my life, the Bible says, is blessed. This is my Bible. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. In Jesus' name, I call it done. Amen. Go ahead and be seated. Come on, turn to somebody, tell them it's not your daddy's fault. Say it again, say it's not your father's fault. Turn to somebody else, the one you didn't choose to talk to at first, and tell them it's not your daddy's fault. Come on, talk to him. All right, if you can't follow that, it's going to be hard to follow other stuff. So just go ahead and just tell them it's not your daddy's fault, it's not your father's fault. And I am in the midst of trying to free up by the direction of the Holy Spirit, parents throughout this country and throughout this Northwest that hear what we're teaching, to let them know that you cannot take all the responsibility for what's happening with your children. This has to do with Luke chapter 15, which is the prodigal son. If you'll go there, we want to be able to go to Luke chapter 15 and in verse 15, chapter 15 rather. We're going to go to the middle here of that chapter. And I want to read quickly let's just start from the 12th verse, I guess, or the 11th verse. There was a certain man who had two sons. A certain man that had how many sons? Now, you got two choices here. You're going to see one or the other. He had two sons. Next verse, please. Let's continue to roll and just as I'm going, just go as quickly as you can. And the younger of them, the least experienced of the two, said, what are you saying? The kingdom of God operates through words. You go to heaven off your words. You go to hell on your words. By your words, you're justified. By your words, you are condemned, the Bible says. So what we say is important. He said to his father. See, we're so used to saying stuff and nothing happening until we'll say anything and think nothing's going to happen. You keep saying it, it's coming to pass. You can talk about how broke you are all day long and think it's funny. But, you know, the enemy is hearing that. The angels, which they work by commands, when you say stupid stuff, the angels fold their arms and stand back, as it were. The demons say, hey, you hear that? He thinks he's dumb as a stump. Come on, let's prove he's dumb. He thinks he's going to be broke all his life. So off to work I go. That's how dumb he is. He says that about himself. Instead of confessing that he should be prospering and being in health as his soul prospers, when the angels hear that, it's about, oh, let's get to work, man. Unfold them arms. We've got to help him to prosper now and to be in health because he's speaking the word. They work by commands. This man said something. He said, give me the portion of my goods that falls to me. So his father listened to him. So he divided to them his livelihood. Next verse. And after not many days after, the younger son gathered together and journeyed to a far country. It's funny, when we want to get away from God, we don't stay close in the church. We don't come to his house when you won't go out there and sin for a while. I'm just saying.
You can tell if a person wants to sin, they're out of here. You don't stay up in God's house and fornicate. Mm-hmm. You don't stay up in God's house and become the biggest liar in town. You have to leave and find somebody that's foreign to the things of God. Because you don't plan on having them remind you what the scripture says. We get around them kind of people, okay? So the son left and he went to a far country. Now he was doing fine where he was. We'll find that out because he found out in the pig pen and realized, came to himself. There's an anointing on the word come. Jesus said simply, come. When Peter said, Lord, if it be you, because we think you're a ghost out there, if it be you, bid me come. What could Jesus do? It was him. What's he going to say? No, he had to say, come. There's something that happens when you come to church. You stay your rump at home, you ain't going to get the same thing. I don't care how much you got to, you know, the live stream, no offense, but I'm telling you, you need to get up in the house sometime. Because there's an anointing that flows here. And sometimes we cut off some of the best stuff, you don't even see it. So there's an anointing on come, and he came to himself. But here we are. Here he is. He's prodigal. He's going away. Prodigal. He's going away. He's prodigal. He's going away. He's prodigal. He's not staying with God. He is away from God. And you can be away from God in your mind and sit your body right in here and be somewhere else. There's a whole lot of away people sitting in the church. Their minds are not even thinking about God. Now, some sit there and think about the pizza they're going to eat after service. I understand that. But I ain't talking about that, okay? I'm talking about they gone. They gone. They ain't thinking about God. They think about their own problems, situations, the things they're dealing with, how they're going to deal with that. Listen, 1 Peter 5:7, look at it. Cast your care upon him. He cares for you. Stop worrying about everything. Roll that thing over. I just rolled some stuff over this morning. I just rolled it over. I said, God, I roll this over on you. You know what cast means? It is an agricultural term, which means to be turned over upside down. We want to turn the problems upside down on us. Stop worrying about that mess. You can't do nothing about it anyhow. That's why you've been walking around here getting grayer hair. But you wasn't built to worry anyhow. That's why you look so ugly. I'm not saying you're ugly, but it'll make you look ugly. After a while, you worry and worry and worry, and you ain't even old. It'll make you old. Worrying will make you old. You are not built for worry. You got to learn how to throw that stuff on God and say, God, you dig it. I can't handle it. So he was prodigal living. One thing the father didn't do, doesn't show in the scriptures that he sat there and worried. Oh, where's my child? Oh, where's my child? Oh, where's my son? Oh, where's my son? My youngest son, where's my son? Where's my son? Father was like, I got faith he's going to come back because I got it good here. When you realize that God's got it good for you, you'll get out there and get stupid and then get back to God. And all of us have gotten stupid at one time or another. Some of us are stupid right now. Don't tell nobody, though, while you're sitting here. Because we do stupid stuff. Now, this is a lifestyle ministry. I'm called to deal with your soul, your mind, will, and emotion. So I deal with what you think, what you do with your own will versus God's will, and your emotions, how you feel, baby. That's my calling, is to deal with your soulish area. Because the spirit's already taken care of if you've gotten born again. But if you don't have that yet, we'll make sure you get that at the end of the service. So we got to deal with where you're thinking, what you're feeling, and whether you're going with God's will or yours. So in order to do that, God allows me to be a little different, a little straight, sometimes a little raw. I ain't talking about nasty, but I'm talking raw, just where you can get it. So don't be offended by that, because apparently you need that, because that's how God drew you here. You apparently need it this way. See, you don't go to the foot doctor for something happening in the head. I ain't no foot doctor. I'm a head doctor. Deal with mind, will, and emotion. Got books about it and everything else. Imagination and intellect. First book I wrote was Casting Down Imaginations, because people think stupid and they think that's right. That's why we got so many people now switching from being transgender. I'm not transgender. The new trend is not to be transgender, because it was all in their head in the first place. And then somebody stupid enough that they were hanging around with, some of them school teachers and physicians that make a lot of dough out of it, said, yes, you are transgender. We got to change that gender. You know how much that costs? About $350,000 per person. And who made the money? Doctors. You didn't. See, it's all in what you think. As a man thinks in his heart, because you think in two places, in your head and in your heart. Some people think they're going to hell off the thoughts that come to their head. You get all kinds of stupid thoughts in your head. The devil will submit things to your head, but until it gets to your heart, it don't mean nothing anyhow. You can't get saved through your head. Sometimes you feel like you're saved, sometimes you feel like the devil. Because the enemy will throw things on you and try to guilt trip you. You got to learn how to deal with your thoughts and cast down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. And then when you handle that, now you can help somebody else. But until you handle your own thoughts, you ain't got no business talking to nobody. That's why most Christians shut up, because they can't handle themselves. How are they going to tell somebody else how to think when you're thinking stupid 24/7? Just a thought. Just saying. That wasn't in my script. Let's continue. When he had spent all, there arose a famine. Wait a minute. In the land. And wait a minute, let's dissect this. We're going to go further. We got a couple more minutes. But when he had spent all, there arose a famine in that land. All of a sudden, when he spent all he had, there was a famine. I really submit to you that this famine was only with him. Ain't nobody else was dealing with no famine. Like right now, we got the government causing famine because they can't agree and vote to be able to keep the government going along. Some people getting fired, they're getting a famine. Not if they were tithers and givers, unless they go into a promotion. I told you that earlier. I believe that because I pastored people for many years. They got out of the military and all kinds of stuff. We helped them to transition. You got to do this thing a certain way, and folks. I'm not kidding. You're going to have to live this. You're going to one day have to live the scriptures and not just live the government. I get my government check. That's all I need. What if the government go broke? Governments do go broke. Not this one. Governments do go broke. But not the kingdom of God, because you're part of the kingdom. And that's where your economy is. And see, now it's like, well, what are you talking about, Pastor? I'm talking about you're supposed to be living off the kingdom of God. The Lord told me, throw more financial teaching into your regular teaching. Stop just having an offering, and that's the only time you talk about finances. Because people dealing with it 24/7. People sitting, waking up at 2 o'clock in the morning, I'm going to pay them bills. I'm going to pay them bills. Oh, the credit card called yesterday. Oh, the car's going to get bejacked up. My TV's old. I got to hold my TV. People, so they're freaking out. You can't even watch the TV because the TV's watching you. Making you feel like you're guilty. You can't even watch the TV because you're scared somebody's going to walk in and take it from you. While you watching it, they just unplug the sucker and just unscrew it and just walk on out. See you later. See, we got to get past all this stuff. We got to get past that. We should not be concerned about anything concerning what you're going to eat, what you're going to drink, what you're going to put on. You know what that tells me? Now, I'm going to go really where you're at. You know what that tells me? Your Nordstrom bill should be very low. Shouldn't be in debt just to get some clothes. Your Macy's bill. First of all, you really don't need a Macy's car, because by the time you pay it off, the clothes ain't no good. The fashions change. You watch it wearing summer clothes in the middle of a snowstorm because you can't afford to go get no more because your credit's too high. You'd have jacked that up. You see, there's a whole process about this. You should be able to go out, buy what you got to buy, and not have to worry about it. Now, I know that's too much to preach. It's just for preachers, right? Just preachers can say this. Baloney, you're part of the kingdom of God. I didn't believe this just when I became a preacher. I believe it was working very well when I wasn't a preacher. I was always a tither giver ever since I was 17 years old. And that deacon walked up to me in that Baptist church and said, two things you don't do. Number one, you don't talk about the pastor. You don't talk negative about that pastor. Number two, pay your tithes and give an offering. I said, okay. I got it. I was 17 years old. And I'm telling you, by the time I was 18, I was styling in my Cougar. Had three jobs. Sure did. My girl on my side, she was happy. She's still happy. Same girl. See, we got to realize living for the kingdom of God is the best way to live. You're going to have more fun doing this than sitting there dodging sin. But when he had spent all, this is about money, but it's about family. I'm teaching you about you parents that feel like it's your fault that your kids is taking drugs. If they're taking drugs, they have their own decision. You didn't make them take the drugs. Hopefully you didn't buy them the drugs. Pray for them, but don't become so guilt-tripped until you can't operate. God told me to free you up. And some of us, we've tragically lost children even. Maybe not in this room, but we've lost children over these kinds of crazy things. Kids went out and did some things, but you can't live your life in guilt forever. Ask God to forgive you, ask your kids to forgive you, and move on in life. Don't do that again. Go and sin no more. But you can't be blamed all day long. I ain't sitting around here waiting for my kids to come up and blame me for everything they're going through. I ain't thinking about you. I love you, but I ain't thinking about you. And I'm doing you a favor by not thinking about you. You need to think about yourself. Go pray for yourself. Get your own act together. You can't blame me because you'll never get you together if you think I'm going to get you together. You got to go get your own self together. See, that's tough love. That's hard love. And we're so used to making everybody a feminine, you know. Everybody's a punk. I said the whole nation is a bunch of girls. So even the boys, we don't even want to teach them how to be a man. Get your rump out there and go work. Stop lying around this house. Get out of here and go work. You're going to have to take care of somebody else. You're supposed to get married, man. You ain't need to stay around trying to find somebody that you can fornicate with. You need to get married. My wife and I, we are so glad we got married so young, 18 and 19. Same thing with Dr. Fred and Betty Price. They were very young. I'm so glad. I ain't trying to discover what women are all about because they don't teach you nothing. Did they have a course for men about what men were, ladies, when you were going to school? They don't have that, and they don't have about finances. That's why he was a mess. And when he had spent all, because there comes an end to that, I'm telling you, you can jack up them credit cards because they gave you the approval. That's stupid. Don't spend that all that money. See, what we, okay, I'll give you. My wife and I, we spend like this. If we can't pay it off with our regular income by the end of the month, we ain't buying it. So we only put on our credit card what we intend on paying off. Because why sit there and carry this thing? You paying $20 a month, they charging you $60 a month. You ain't never gonna get out that hole. And they know it's wrong because as soon as you die, they just write it off. They don't fight with you. Some of y'all don't know that. I guess I shouldn't have said that. I shouldn't have said that because, woo! Hey, it's gonna be written off anyhow. So you go out there, slap, swipe here, swipe there, swipe there. The problem is, what if you don't die real early? You got all the bills. Lord, help us today. So he spent all. He didn't spend just a little bit. And see, that's the thing about you don't need it all. You don't need the whole pie. You don't need to eat all that pie. Y'all didn't know that, huh? You don't have to eat all those cookies. Brothers, you don't need all the women. Ain't no such thing as wild oats. I don't know why I'm on this today. I haven't been on it for a while. So you don't need all these women. Let it sink in. But when he had spent all, there arose a famine in that land, and he, not everybody, he began to be in want. The Lord is your shepherd. You shall not want. Did you hear what I said? You shall not want. Say, I shall not want. Get an attitude about it on that scripture. Say, I refuse to want. Say, I refuse to want. If the Lord is my shepherd, why do I? It's like my son. You saw him in some of those pictures. That kid didn't want. He didn't have nothing that he didn't get because he walk into Walmart. He walk into Safeway. He walk in, and all he did was we just hear plunk, plunk, plunk. Now, he don't like to hear this because now his kids are doing him like that. But see, and they are. Every time they come to the house, they got something new. I'm not kidding. Am I right about it, Don? Come on now, Pastor Don. He knows I'm telling the truth. Every time he comes to the house, look at this, Grandpa. I got a new. It's always something new. So I just wait for 5 minutes at the front door to make sure they tell me all the new stuff they got. Because it's just he reaped what he sowed. He went to Walmart or Safeway. He didn't. Well, yes, he did. It was Walmart. Walmart was here when he was older, but Kmart was before that. But I don't want to date myself. Please, Ms. Shorter. Okay. But we'd go to the store, and all I'd hear in the basket, plunk, 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 plunk. And one day I said, Don, why do you keep throwing this stuff in there? Just write a check, Dad. He said, just write a check. That's all you need to do is write a check. I said, you gotta have the money when you write the check. Just write a check, Dad. Just write a check. Write a check. But see, you can get to where you spent all. He went and joined himself to the citizen of other countries. Who are you talking to that's a foreigner to the kingdom of God? It's amazing sometimes as a pastor, I don't meet everybody that everybody knows until something happens. They end up in the hospital or I don't know, death in the family, whatever, critical situation, family issues that they want a pastor to get involved with. Then I find out who the real friends are. And I say, that's why you got this mess going on. You're sitting there listening to foreigners. That if you ask them anything, but they barely know you. You are Secret Service Christian with your best friends. They don't even know you're a Christian. They can't help you with the kingdom. They're not part of the kingdom. Show got quiet all of a sudden. See, because that's the truth. We have to be able to know that we're being thrown in with people that don't agree with our God. See, you need even to get stronger than that. You should be people that are of the same spirit of faith. Because there's other believers that don't believe in healing. I'm glad I wasn't married to one. Because for 6.5 years, I needed to get healed. Because they poisoned me at the hospital. And the poison lasts for 6.5 years. I didn't get free until 1 year ago this week. But thank God I wasn't married to someone that was not of the same spirit of faith. It's in your Bible. She's of the spirit of faith to believe for my healing, even when I gave up as a pastor. Sometimes you just give in to your circumstances. And you need somebody around you to say, no, you ain't. You ain't doing that. You ain't. And she was saying, she got bold too. She said, you ain't doing that to me. I don't want to be here by myself. You ain't going nowhere. So get your rump in there, take your medicine, whatever you're going to do, or go eat, you know, whatever you got to do. Because you're not going nowhere. That's not what God's showing me. And so she even went beyond faith. When faith seemed like it was taking too long, she said, God, I've asked you by faith. Now I need a miracle. I need a miracle. And that's what I believe what Deacon Simpson was saying. That's what the Lord spoke to my heart while we was watching our dear deaconess go be carried out of here last week. While she was being put into the hearse, she's already there in heaven. That's just her body. The Lord said to me, This would have been you. But I gave you a miracle. I gave you a miracle. I gave you miracles, really, is what he did. Let's finish this off. I got to get to someplace and I'm going to quit. I'm just about done. Okay, but another scripture or two. Continue, move on. So he went out and he was going to feed the swine. Feed the swine, feed the swine, feed pigs. Doesn't that tell you something wrong? What pigs are you hanging with? They're supposed, the people you hang with are supposed to be going, bah. Can you tell the difference between an oink oink and a babat? Babat doesn't get all dirty and love dirt. Unclean, 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 yeah. Unclean, you know. Unclean. See, and we hang with unclean people. Sheep are nice and dainty. They want to get sheared. Could you shear me? I'm getting a little heavy. Don't you need a suit? But see, we hang with people that live in the pig slop. This is the scriptures. He was going to fill his stomach with the pods of the swine ate. It's amazing how when you get hurting, you really start thinking about your food. Sometimes you can't afford nothing to eat. And you remember your mama's cooking. Yeah, maybe I can move back at home, live in the basement. For a little while. He had nothing. Nobody gave to him. Next verse is where we're going to stop, please. But when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough? See, God's an overflow God. This is not an example of somebody's father. This is an example of Father God. And there's folks outside of the church right now, some may be watching my live stream, that are sitting out there and do not have bread enough. Forget the spare. But God wants you to have enough bread to where you're sitting there eating. Now listen, let me say this also. You got to get comfortable eating when there are enemies all around you, when things are adverse. Because he prepares a table before you. He prepares a table before you. He prepares, he waits until the enemies come and watch you eat. You drive down the street with that new car. And there's that neighbor that can't stand your guts. You say hi to him and they boom. And here you got to come back home with that new car. And you're driving down that street. And the Lord said, there he is. I brought him out just for you. I brought him out just for you. Just wave real big this time. Praise the Lord. He said, he ain't speaking in tongues either. Okay. And you go and put the car in, get the kids in the driveway and put them in the car. Let's go take a ride, the new one I got. And you drive by and they're looking again. Because you keep trying to tell them about Jesus, that he's your shepherd, you shall not want. This guy came to his senses. And what's so amazing to me as I close, I can't figure out how people won't come to their senses. I pray you don't have to go through 6.5 years of hell to come to your senses. I pray you don't have to go through, I had cancer and found out that God's a healer. You don't need to go through that. Talk to the people that have already been through cancer and still living. You don't have to go through that. You don't have to go through poverty. Well, I want to see what it's like. You don't need to see what it's like. People will tell you what it's like. It stinks. You don't have, well, you know, everybody has at least one divorce. You don't need none. You don't have to go through that. You don't have to live this life experientially. You don't have to experience everything. Let somebody else experience it and learn from their experience. But better than that, learn from the word and just keep on cruising. You don't have to go through this. But when he came home, we're going to deal with this next week. He came home. Not everybody was happy. The father had a fatted calf. He fatted that calf up for that boy. He had a ring to put on his finger. And I don't mean... Gold is up to almost $5,000 an ounce. It's at $4,000 an ounce now. So hang on to your rings. But he put a ring on his finger, fatted calf, and gave him a nice, clean, unsticky. You ever had a sticky robe that every time you put it on, it's poking you? It wasn't a sticky robe. It was a nice, beautiful robe, and put it on him. He didn't give him something old, dirty, and ugly. What are you wearing? This is why I refused for the whole time that we went through, just about over with it, where everybody want holes in their jeans and holes in their head and holes in their shoes and holes in everything. You got to look like you broke. I didn't participate. I said, I ain't doing that. I represent the kingdom of God. I ain't walking around here with go buy some pants with holes in them. How stupid is it? They got to be from the devil. Because you ain't go to heaven and God give you a holy robe. And you're going to put on the holy robe. Anyhow, he got the best. But he had a brother that we got to learn how to deal with. Because some of us are the brother. As soon as we see somebody get blessed, we're like, well, I didn't get that. Ain't your turn. Keep holding on. You'll get it. You'll get what you're supposed to get. Keep serving God. It's coming your way. You know, you got to teach your children that. They can't have everything instantly. Teach them to use their faith. Believe God for it. Amen. Don't just ask for stuff and you just grab it. You have to know that you have to use your faith. We'll talk about that next week. Did you get something out of this tonight, today? Come on, let's give God some praise. Clap your hands, everybody. Come on, clap your hands. God is good. Let's make a confession. Say, God, I know that you are good. God, I know that the story we're reading, this parable, is about your house, about you, and how you treat your people, your children. God, help me to realize what I have not realized yet, so I can be able to come to myself in every area. Satan, I remind you, you stay in the pig slop. I'm not coming. You and all your foreign speaking people, I'm not speaking that crazy language. I speak the kingdom of God. I speak the word of God. I'm not picking up your isms in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, let's give God praise. Let's thank God for that. Make a decision. You're going to live the way God has it for you.